We have Bumpty Bumps Charlie coming around the third bed, and Bumpty Bumps Charlie. Over over, number third coming over, number four, Ebbly Gums comes over the Wumpty Gums. Wumpty Gums, Wubbly Gums comes over the Bumpty Gums. Bumpty Bums over four, number four coming over the right corner over the left, into your head, coming out of nowhere, is into your head. Five, number five, casting out at number five, coming out over the bridge, over the houses and over the bridges. Now number four, back to the Bumpty Bumps, back to the Bumpty Bumps, over.
Join me in a tremendously exciting moment. Well, not, I wouldn't. Frankly, that's a lie. It's not an exciting moment, but it is a fine, enjoyable moment. It's a Sunday morning. It's my day off. One of my days off. I have 2 days off. In fact, I have 104 days off if you're going by years, but I have 2 days off if you're going by weeks, and I have a variable number of days off, but around 8 or 9 if you're going by months. So anyway, this is one of my 2 weekly days off. It's also one of my 104 yearly days off, but it's restricted to one particular week during the year. I'm not allowed to take this Sunday off on a different Sunday. That would defeat the purpose anyway, seeing as how I have all the other Sundays off anyway. So this is a non-transferable Sunday, but that's fine with me. All Sundays should be unique, or all the same. Nothing wrong with a bit of predictability. I predicted that I'd be asleep now, but that didn't work out, so this is an unpredictable Sunday. I woke up at some ungodly hour and decided to come down to my computer and talk to you and tell you stuff. Unfortunately, you're not listening. For a start, the chances are you're in America, and it's 3:42 on a Saturday morning for you, or possibly 12:42 on a Saturday morning, so you're either drunk or asleep, or watching infomercials on the television on channel 864, because that's how many television channels you Americans have. You have 864 channels, unless you count the channel that shows the list of channels and what's on the channels. So that'll make it 847. But why would you count that channel? If you count that channel, you have to count all the channels that are listed on it. So that adds another 847 channels onto your existing 847. And of course, one of those is the channel I just mentioned, and that lists 847 channels. So you're in a vicious circle there of adding on 847 to whatever number you're up to now. Let's see, 3 times 847. I'll just bring up the calculator here on the freaking computer. Hold on a minute. Accessories. Calculator. 847 plus 847, 1694. I could have figured that out myself. It's just that I'm busy. Now you add on another 847. When you realise that one of those 847 is the channel that lists 847 channels. Or did I say 874? I'm not sure. I seem to have just typed 874 anyway. Well, this will bring a bit of variety into it. Sometimes I'll type 874, and other times I'll type 847. And hopefully the laws of chance and probability will mean that I type around 50% of the time 847, and 50% of the time 874, and it'll all balance out somehow. Well, there you go, 3,388. I think I've made a mistake of some sort. Or have I? I don't know. Anyway, suffice to say, you keep adding on 847 forever and ever and ever, until your cable television system reaches its maximum possible bandwidth, and then the cable company has to go investing in new cables and all sorts of new things. You have to dig up the road outside your house, and then your cat falls into the trench that they've dug, and probably sniffs out. Oh, if you're lucky, the cat will find some oil down there. If you're even more lucky, it'll be a oil that can be dug. But then, of course, you won't have to move house because you can't live beside a frigging oil well that's being used. But of course, you'll be a multi-billionaire then, so you can buy a new house. You can build a replica of the area that he used to live in if you feel like it. Just make sure that the replica doesn't include an exact working replica of the oil well, because then you're going to have to move again and build another replica and try to remember not to put the oil well in this time, because otherwise you're just going to have to keep moving and moving and moving forever. It'll be the same as the adding on 847 forever and ever and ever, and you'll end up just doing a joint version of that arithmetical error, except it's going to affect your whole life and where you live. Although, of course, these are all replicas, so they'll all look the same. But it'll be an inconvenience having to move and rebuild your town somewhere else every time, until hopefully, eventually, you'll remember not to build an oil well in the replica. But then, of course, if you don't build the oil well, you won't make any more money. But hopefully you've invested the money from the original oil well very effectively and taken care of your money. So then it's all going to be fine.
Joanne O'Carroll for the Into Your Head Adult Learning Programme. Now, yesterday I was queuing up at my local bank, hoping to get my hands on some limited edition lodgement forms, which I collect as a hobby, when all of a sudden there was a loud scream of, "Help! Help! My sandwich!" Needless to say, I pushed the onlookers out of the way and made my way to the centre of the crowd, letting everybody know that I was available to assist. It turned out that the bank porter had solved a cross clue on his crossword, but in doing so had unfortunately found that an interlinked down word was obviously incorrect, because it no longer fitted. Apparently, the poor unfortunate man had gambled his luncheon sandwich, corned beef and cheese on dry white toast, on being able to solve the crossword, and the bank manager had now won it off him. And this brings me to my point. Corned beef is completely unsuitable for toast. You have to put it in a soft bap or a crusty French roll, nothing else. People really need to be taught sandwich making in schools, maybe as part of a home economics class. We can't have, in a civilized society, people assembling their sandwiches incorrectly. Anyway, I'm fine with corned beef, and it's in the right context. But one thing I won't tolerate at all is an uncarpeted basement stairs. These, as far as I'm concerned, are highly dangerous and should be banned and replaced with ladders. When you climb down a ladder, there are no complicated steps in your way, just a few simple narrow rungs. So there is very little chance of you getting confused and forgetting where your feet go, or losing sight of the handrail. And if the ladder falls over while you're on it, you still reach your desired destination. Unless, of course, you're on the way upstairs. Don't worry if you don't understand this. I'm planning a special Two Cats Walk Into a Bar story to end today's lecture, which will illustrate my point in an easy-to-understand analogy about a cat walking down a stairs to a basement. But that's all to come later. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. I recently changed my favourite colour from red to orange in order to realign my visual tastes with my food preferences, so that my favourite colour is now the same as my favourite flavour. And I know what you're thinking. If I ate blood oranges, I could have remained loyal to the colour red, while still enjoying orange-coloured foodstuffs. But the problem with that is that blood oranges taste like urine. And urine happens to be one of my least favourite flavours. I avoid urine-flavoured ice creams and crisps like the plague. Although, come to think of it, that doesn't entirely make sense. I don't avoid the plague. I don't have to, because it has never threatened me or come after me as far as I know. Me and the plague have never crossed swords. Not that I'm friends with the plague. It's just that it's been sensible enough not to start an argument with me. So I've had no reason to get upset. No matter how much I may dislike the plague and its political views, if I were to start a fight with it today, I could quite rightly be described as aggressive and a troublemaker. Anywho, now that I've nailed my colours to the mast as regards colours and flavours, I may as well go all the way and reveal my favourite breakfast cereal. It's Frosties, known in some countries as Frosted Flakes, Furnace Flakes, or Flakies, but always featuring Tony the Tiger on the box. Obviously, the cat is part of the attraction. But I also love the fact that the cereal manufacturers traipse out into the street at 4 o'clock every morning to gather frost and dew with which to coat my corn. It makes a welcome change from the usual mass manufacturing of cereals that goes on in most places. There just aren't enough handmade breakfast items in the world today. Anyway, two cats walk into a bar. One of them immediately runs to behind the bar counter, because he works there and he doesn't want to keep the other cat waiting and damage his business after all. It's taken him years to build up a reputation, and there's no point throwing it all away just so he can continue talking to the other cat about Itchy and Scratchy. Anyway, the other cat asks him for a Guinness. The bar cat tells him that the Guinness keg is empty and it might take a few minutes, to which the other cat replies that it's absolutely fine. He's not in a hurry and he'll wait. The bar cat then quietly curses under his breath because he doesn't want to have to go all the way down to the basement, especially since the ladder has been replaced with a carpeted stairs, and he hates those. He finds them so confusing, with their vertical bits and horizontal bits. He never knows which to use. He wants to travel down in a gentle 45-degree slope, not horizontally or vertically. Besides, it's dark down there, and he's a black cat, so nobody will see him if he crosses their path, which means a ton of precious good luck will go to waste, all of which, I think, proves my earlier point perfectly. I have been Professor S. Joanne O'Carroll for the Into Your Head Adult Learning Programme.
It's time for a book review. It's a unique book review today. I've got two different editions of a similar publication. One's called The New Jerusalem Bible, and the other one is the Gideon's Holy Bible. So I'm going to compare them now. I'm going to do the direct comparison. Let's see, I'm going to go up to page 100 of both books and see how they compare. You can tell straight away the Jerusalem Bible is more compact. Jerusalem's apparently used smaller prints and thinner pages. So let's see, where's page 100? There we go. And Jerusalem Bible, page 100, starts with "burnt them with the burnt offering on the altar." So that's an excellent piece of alliteration straight away. Repetition of the word "burnt." Well, "burned" and "burnt." It's the same thing, pretty much. It's just a different tense. It's a grammatical difference. And of course, God never held grammatical faults against anyone. He was more into the prevention of things like murder and stealing and coveting your neighbour's animals and that sort of thing. Anyway, the Gideon's Bible, page 100, starts with "ing records because it was beyond measure." Now, that's different. So we have a problem here. I'm going to interrupt myself there, because quite frankly, this segment is a load of crap. It's basically me, it's ridiculous. It's got me with two editions of the Bible and comparing page 100 of the two books and trying to make out that they're completely different publications. Complete load of crap. So I'm just going to interrupt it now with some synthesized piano. Anyway, back to the segment. Bible, "burned them with the burnt offering on the altar." The Gideon's Bible, "ing records because it was beyond measure." Now, there seems to be some sort of difference in the interpretation here. And here we go, straight away, the top of the Gideon's Bible says that this is from Genesis 41:50. The other one just says Leviticus. So these are completely different Bibles. There's no similarity whatsoever. This one on my right is going on about Joseph's brothers going to Egypt, and the one on my left is talking about complementary legislation. stuff about forbidding wine and rules for priestly mourning. Oh, that's interesting. Moses said to Aaron and his sons, Eleazar and Itahar, do not disorder your hair or tear your clothes, or you may incur death. Now, of course, this was back in the early days of clothing, when they were still making shirts out of barbed wire, and no one had learned how to cast off at the end of a line of knitting. They just leave a bit of wire hanging off. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to interrupt myself again there. My previous interruption wasn't satisfactory, as far as I'm concerned. I interrupted myself saying that the segment was a load of crap, and then I played some piano and messed up the volumes on it, so the levels are all over the place. And then, as if that wasn't bad enough, I then finished the segment and went back to the Bible segment, which I had already said was a load of crap. But I continued the Bible segment where it left off. Absolutely ludicrous way of doing it, if you ask me. So this is going to be a proper interruption. I'm going to make this interruption worthwhile by doing something more entertaining than what I'm interrupting. Otherwise, it's a waste of time. Let's see, what will I do? I suppose I could draw a picture. That's what I do. I'll go into Microsoft Paint, and I'll draw a picture, and try and make it an audio picture that I can talk you through. Because there's all sorts of drawing and painting programs on the television during the daytime. I don't see why I can't do a radio program where I draw stuff. So I'll select a paintbrush, and I'll select dark red. Let's see, I'll start up near the top left corner, but out a bit, over about 2 inches over, and I'll go straight down with the line. There we go. That's about 4 inches. Now I'm going to stop there and not move the cursor, but I'm going to start a new line and go perpendicular. So here we go, here's a perpendicular line going out to the right, unless you're looking at it from the other side, in which case it's going to the left. But there's no point confusing matters. There you go. That line's a bit crooked, so if this was the plan for the floor of a house, the house would be lopsided. So it's just as well that it isn't. So now we're going to go up again, so we're going up the other side. Basically we're making a box here. There we go. We might as well put a top on the box. I'm going to interrupt myself one more time, but not for a negative reason this time. This is an addition to this segment, which I'm actually now quite liking. I've changed my mind on it. I'm allowed to change my mind. A great man once said that a great man is a man who's able to change his mind and admit that he changes his mind. So I'm great, because I've changed my mind. I like this segment now, and the reason I like it is because the whole thing of comparing two Bibles reminds me of the Pepsi Coca-Cola challenge of the early 80s, or whenever it was. People used to get a blindfold, and they'd put a blindfold on someone and give them some Coke and give them some Pepsi and compare them. So I have two experiments that I want to do now. I do have a blindfold. I have a night mask. That's upstairs, so I'm just going to close my eyes. I've got a Bible in my left hand and a Bible in my right. I'm going to see if I can tell the difference. Well, the one on the left is slightly heavier and wider. I can't really feel any faith coming off them, but I suppose I have to read them before that to happen, and I can't read them while I'm blindfolded or have my eyes closed, so this test isn't really suitable for books. But at least it was worth a try. At least we found that out. Now, the other test that I want to do involves Coca-Cola. I've got a half a bottle of Coca-Cola in front of me. I've also got half a mug of coffee, instant coffee, which I made earlier. It's starting to go so cold, so it'll probably be around the same temperature as the Coca-Cola, so that's fair. I don't have any Pepsi because I don't like it, so I'm not doing the Coke-Pepsi challenge, but I will do the Coke-Coffee challenge. So I'll close my eyes, see if I can tell the difference just by taste. So we'll try the Coca-Cola first. Now, I would say that that's definitely Coca-Cola. The reason why I know that It's because it tastes like Coca-Cola, and it's also because I never have Pepsi in the house. So I'm pretty sure that's Coca-Cola. So I'll just try the other item now that's in the mug. That tastes like coffee to me. So I would say that this one in my right hand in the mug is the coffee. This stuff in the left, in my left hand in the bottle, is the Coca-Cola. So I'm going to open my eyes now and see. Oh my god, I was completely wrong. Oh no, I was right. No, the Coca-Cola is the one on my left in the bottle, and the coffee is the one on my right. So it just goes to show advertising works. Of the box. There we go. It's a little bit curved, but that's fine. It gets to from the corner to the other corner perfectly well. It's just that it takes a bit longer than it's supposed to. So I'm going to do this the same and connect the other two remaining corners of the rectangle. So basically what we've drawn now is the back of a sealed envelope. It's absolutely fantastic. So I might as well write my return address on the back, just in case. See, I'll write it in blue. Now, I don't want to give my address out on the podcast, so I'll just type it here and not say it, if you don't mind. I don't have a zip code. We don't have zip codes in Ireland. So there'll be no zip code whatsoever involved here. But we'll get there anyway. The Irish postal system doesn't need zip codes. It's perfectly fine without them. This letter will get to its destination, assuming I ever post it, which I'm not going to, because it's just a picture of an envelope. It's not a real letter at all. It'd be a waste of a good postage stamp to send this. Anyway, there you go. It's all addressed up now. I'm just going to center the address. It's down near the bottom, in case you're wondering. So that's all done. There's a picture drawn. So that's basically it for this interruption. We'll go back to the segment now. Wire hanging off. So really, you're better off going around naked. But of course, you couldn't with all these Bible writers that go around. If you were caught naked, you had the risk of appearing in an episode of the Bible as an example in some chapter about why you shouldn't go around naked. And of course, if you get quoted in the Bible, you're there forever, because the Bible is just going to be there for millions of years. So I'll tell you, it's far better off to have your naked picture on the front page of a tabloid newspaper that's going to be in the bin tomorrow than have your story told in the Bible. So people avoided all these Bible reporters, especially if they were naked, because they didn't want the wrath of all future Christians coming down on them, and they didn't want people in classrooms 2,000 years from now being told the parable of the asshole who went around half naked just because he was afraid of a bit of a barbed wire hanging out of his shirt. So there you go. Anyway, we live in better times now. We've got proper clothing that's being manufactured either by a clever machine or by a 7-year-old in Indonesia who's paid 5 cents a month. But I'll tell you, they don't hurt you. So it's absolutely fantastic.
You can now download Into Your Head direct to your iPhone without a computer. All recent and future shows are now under 10 megabytes, so you can even grab them through the cellular electro internet work without having to steal Wi-Fi. Need help? Visit the How to Listen section at intoyourhead.com.
This is like the bit on the Colbert Report, where he's just come back after doing the interview, and he has a commercial break, and then he comes back, and he just says, goodbye.
Sit, Kofi, sit. Good cat.